dear friends of Waynesboro Bible Church. Well, it's hard to believe that it's been 8 weeks already since we've been out of contact and out of church due to the coronavirus. This is the beginning of week number 9. Hopefully, this thing will die down enough that soon we'll be able to get back to church again. When Franklin County finally goes into the yellow phase, we may be able to put some kind of plan into place for church once again, but we do want to make sure that it's relatively safe to do so. Either way, it's good to be with you again today and to have the privilege of sharing God's Word with you. My prayer is that this little time together will strengthen you and give you encouragement as we all face this pandemic together. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. We thank you that we can call upon the name of the Lord and know that you are there. We have the confidence that we are in your hand and nothing can take us out of your hand. And we have the confidence that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Lord, we pray that today would be a day of worship, a day of blessing, a day of comfort to each and every one who is spending time praying and listening to God's Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, I'd like to remind you of our monthly memory verse. It ties into all the messages that we have been preaching recently and will continue to preach through the month of May. The monthly memory verse comes from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Join me in a time of prayer before our message today. Father, I want to praise you again for the powerful hand of God and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Without your peace, Lord, we would be in a very dark place today, but we know that you have a plan and a purpose, and that nothing takes you by surprise, and nothing is too big or too hard for you. Lord, even though we find our nation and the world today in crisis, we do know that you are in control. We know that this is all part of the plan that you have to bring this world to a place where it is being prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we also know, Lord, that because that's true, we should, as Christians, we should be looking and expecting our Lord Jesus Christ's arrival at any time. His coming is soon. He's going to come and take his bride, the church, out of this world before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Before that tribulation comes upon the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rapture the church. I pray that everyone listening today is ready for that to take place. Father, I pray your blessing upon the time that we spend today in your word again. I want to praise you for your hand of provision for all of our needs during this time. It's a difficult time of quarantine. It's also a very difficult time of economic loss for many, many people. I pray especially for those folks who've been out of work many weeks, and some of them, their employment benefits are running out. And some of them have not received any employment benefits. I pray, dear God, that you would supply all their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if those are if there are any people, Lord, in the sound of our voice that are in need, we pray especially for them that they would find resources, because there are resources available, but that they would find resources to help them in this time of need. Father, I pray that you will bring this coronavirus to an end, that your hand of mercy and grace would give us the relief that we so desire. But I pray that before that takes place, we will wake up and realize our need to trust completely in you. And Lord, I pray that America will be able to reopen soon, that businesses would open, people would get back to work, that the economy would recover for all American families, and that we would be able to get back to church very soon. Father, I pray that our government leaders will give you the credit for bringing the coronavirus to an end. I pray that those who have lost loved ones and those who have loved ones in nursing homes, I pray, dear God, that you would keep your hand upon them and comfort them as only you can. I pray for the doctors and nurses and first responders, and for places that still have need of medicine and medical supplies, and for those doctors and scientists who are working to try to find a cure, a treatment, and a vaccine for this virus, that your hand would be upon them, that you would guide them, that your will would be done. I pray for this crisis to bring our nation to a place of spiritual awakening, to a revival. I pray, Lord, for those who are sick. New names have been added to our prayer list this week. Lord, we thank you for those who have called and asked for special prayer. I pray for a man today who has a tumor near his heart and is scheduled for a biopsy soon. I want to pray for a lady who is scheduled for cancer surgery on June 1st. I also want to pray for another lady who had two stents put in her heart arteries, and she may have to have gallbladder surgery soon. And I pray for a man with kidney and heart problems. Touch his life today, Lord, and help him to recover. I pray for a lady in a nursing home where the coronavirus has infected some staff and patients. And then, Lord, I want to pray for our missionary family today. We've heard from all of them, and we thank you that they're all safe and healthy and continuing to serve you, even though the coronavirus has affected literally every area of the world where our missionaries are serving. We ask, Lord, that you would encourage our missionaries, keep them safe, provide for all their needs, and use them to bring light in the darkness of the world in which they live. Father, I praise you for your presence in our hearts today. I praise you, Lord, that we can have the assurance of our salvation. I pray for the patience to endure the waiting period till we can get back in church again. And I pray for so many reasons to rejoice in this day that the Lord has made. I want to praise you for that, that we have a lot to be thankful for. And maybe one thing we need to do today is to stop and just count our blessings and see what you have done for us. Our message today comes from Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 4. I'd like to talk to you today about the subject, a nation in crisis. Have you ever wondered if the worldwide corona pandemic is the hand of God's judgment, warning the world to prepare for the great judgment, the tribulation period that's coming upon the earth? The people will have to stand before God and give an account of the things that they've done and whether their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Paul told Timothy, "This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We are a nation in crisis. And we need to listen to what God's Word is saying. Again, we are in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 4 today, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 5. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands have defiled with blood, they are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21 again, thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Again, America is in a dark place. I think these verses, especially verse 2 of Isaiah 59, describes our nation to a T. Your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Because of that truth in that verse, our prayer should begin with humility and confession. Remember, confession must include repentance. We must be truly sorry that we have sinned and desire for God's Holy Spirit to change us. We would do well to pray the same prayer that Hannah prayed when she asked God to give her a male child, the prayer that resulted in the birth of her son, Samuel. Hannah prayed, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. 1 Samuel 1:18. Well, the prophet Isaiah warned a sinful nation that their sins had created a barrier between them and God. There was a wall between them so that he would not hear their prayers. But we must not forget that Isaiah's prophecy provided some good news as well. In the very first verse of Isaiah 59, he says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. That means that God is able to save or deliver us, not just from the coronavirus, but from all of our sins. And he not only will save us, but his ear, even though it's heavy and he won't hear us until we repent, it's not that he cannot hear. God can hear our prayers. He is waiting for the prayer of repentance and confession before he answers other of our prayers. I believe that God will hear our prayers if we pray humbly for his grace and mercy to be demonstrated in such a way that the world will know that he is indeed God. Today I'd like to talk to you about the sins of the nation during Isaiah's day. Isaiah was ministering to the nation of Judah, Jerusalem being its capital. He was ministering to Judah in the day just before their final destruction. And he's talking to them and warning them about the sins that they had committed against God that were very serious in nature, and sins that were hindering their fellowship and their prayers from being heard. The first of those sins was simply the separation between God and his people. We could say the separation of sin, because sin separates us from God. In verse 1 again, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. In a very similar tone, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29 tells us that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Which are we, wicked or righteous? Well, how can we find out? Well, simply by praying. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. With that thought in mind, I believe it is possible for wickedness to creep into our hearts unawares. Wicked thoughts that we have entertained, wicked words that we have spoken, wicked things that we have done toward others. Even though we're Christians, I believe we must always be on guard for iniquity in our hearts. I think of Psalm 66:18 often when I begin to pray. If I regard iniquity in my heart, it says, the Lord will not hear me. Just like Isaiah told the nation of Judah, because of your sin, you're separated from God, he will not hear you. This separation between us and God is sometimes called broken fellowship. Along this line, whenever I'm conscious of sin in my own heart, I think of John's words in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Earlier in that same chapter, John says that that fellowship that we have with one another and the fellowship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, that fellowship is the source of our joy. So if there is no joy in our life, that's probably because there's sin in our life, and that sin has broken the fellowship between we and God. So separation between you and God, or myself and God, that is a serious, serious matter. It's a place where you and I don't want to be. It will do more damage than you realize. It will take away your Christian joy. It will cause you to be miserable. It will dull your senses and disable your ability to hear God's word speaking to you, saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." In Our Daily Bread, back in April of 1974, Henry Bosch tells of an evangelist who said, "When I was conducting a recent revival meeting, I noticed a young lady who wept at every meeting, but never came forward for help. Realizing she was in deep trouble, I approached her and asked, 'Are you a Christian?' She admitted she was not. I soon recognized that something was preventing her from surrendering her life to the Savior. Eventually, she confided that she had stolen thousands of dollars from her employer and knew that if she received Christ, she would have to acknowledge her crime and suffer the consequences. That was keeping her from the narrow way. At last, however, after trusting the Lord Jesus for salvation, she found in him the strength to make a full confession." What is the barrier separating you from Christ's fellowship? Remember, no sin is so great, no habit so inhibiting, but that God's grace can remove it. Face up to whatever the cost may be, and throw yourself upon the mercy of God. By faith, all roadblocks to forgiveness can can be removed. Another sin in Isaiah's day, besides the separation from God because of the sin, another sin was bloody hands. In verse 3, the first part of verse 3, Isaiah says, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity." That idea of defilement is something that causes us to be unworthy. Unworthy of worship, unworthy of fellowship with the Lord and all the benefits that that brings, including fellowship and joy, peace, and all the fruits of the Spirit. Your hands are defiled. You're unworthy. Your hands are defiled with blood. Your fingers are defiled with iniquity, with sin. America has bloody hands through the killing of preborn babies. Since 1973, decision of Roe versus Wade, America is now killing up to 4,000 babies every single day. I've been reading the book of Ezekiel this week. Ezekiel's not an easy book to read, as you know. There are a lot of things there that most Christians have trouble understanding. But it's also a book that's filled with treasures for thought, good meditation material. Ezekiel 22, verse 4 says, "Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries." There in the middle of that verse, God was saying that their lives were actually shortened. They were dying early deaths, and their shame was spread internationally because of the innocent blood they had shed. God is serious about the sins of the nation. You know, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Over and over, we find him weeping over the sins of his nation. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, he says, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." And in Jeremiah 13, verse 17, we read, "My soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away." When was the last time we have wept over the sins of our nation? A third sin in the nation of Judah in Isaiah's day was lying lips. Lying lips. Verse 3 again, verse B, part B. "Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." Things that are perverse are things that are unclean. Lies are always unclean. The ninth commandment, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, is, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Or in other words, thou shalt not lie. Lying has been a problem of mankind from the very beginning. Again, Jeremiah says, "And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity." Jeremiah 9:5. And we're familiar with his statement in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, or who can understand it?" Things were so bad in Judah that Isaiah said in chapter 28, verse 15, "We have made lies our refuge." In other words, the only time we find safety is when we're lying to each other. And Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 7:8, ye trust in lying words. We trust in our lies. I believe that many lies have been given to us about the coronavirus to make us feel safer than we really are. One of the sins of our nation that we need to confess is this sin of lying lips. America is suffering from a decline in basic honesty. Paul tells Timothy that one of the conditions of the latter days is that people will be speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4:2. God will not honor those who cannot tell the truth. Jesus says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Matthew 5:37. In other words, say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And finally, the fourth sin afflicting God's people in Isaiah's day was wicked hearts. Well, that's really where the root of evil is, isn't it? Wicked hearts. Listen to these words in Isaiah 59, verse 4. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. None calleth for justice. No one is looking for the truth. Or if they were looking for the truth, they are convinced there is no truth. Truth cannot be found. That's sort of where we are in America today. We know that there's very few people who can be trusted, and truth is hard to find. Jerusalem was in that situation, and Jerusalem refused to repent. Jeremiah said, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places, if ye can find a man, if there be any, that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth. What's Jeremiah saying? He says, let's search the streets and see if anyone knows what's truth, knows what's really true and honest. When a new Supreme Court justice candidate is nominated, there are weeks and even months of hearings that take place to discuss if this person is truthful and honest, if he is just, if he's fit for the job or up to the task. As ambassadors for Christ, as Paul says we are in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it is our job to be witnesses. Is it any less important than the role of a U.S. Supreme Court justice? We need to be people of God and people of truth. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. So doth a little folly that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. In other words, it doesn't take very much bad things or dishonest things to ruin a pot full of medicine. And in the same way, it doesn't take very many mistakes of not telling the truth to ruin a man's reputation. And so we need to be very careful. James says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. It sounds like he was remembering the words of his stepbrother Jesus many years earlier. And Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 warns, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. I don't need to tell you that that's been a problem of our society for many decades. We call what's right wrong, what's wrong right, what's light darkness, and what's dark light. We are a nation in crisis. What were the sins of Isaiah's day that caused the nation of Judah to collapse? We've mentioned four of the major ones. Separation of sin between God and His people, bloody hands, lying lips, and wicked hearts. We could find a lot more sins mentioned in Isaiah that he was concerned and troubled about. Sins that caused Jeremiah to weep over his nation. Sins that we find in America today that cause us to be concerned and troubled for the spiritual condition of our nation, not listening to the warnings of God to repent and turn from our wicked ways. So, what caused these conditions? What causes a nation to fall into crisis? And what can be done to correct it? Where do we find the truth to correct all of the injustice that we see in the world? Those are things that we're going to discuss in next week's message, Lord willing, as Isaiah continues to warn the nation of Judah of the tragic consequences of a nation in crisis. Father in heaven, if there is anyone listening today who does not have a close personal relationship with you today, I ask that your Spirit would tenderly call them to yourself right now. Maybe there's someone who has never come to grips with their sin, and because of that sin, their separation from a relationship with you. We would say they're not saved. Maybe they realize that you do love them and you want them to be saved. You want to bring them into your family. You want to give them the gift of eternal life. May they call upon you today, asking you to forgive them of their sin. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, if we admit to God, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not only that, but He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please know, dear friend, that God wants you to be saved. He wants to give you a home in heaven where you will spend eternity in His presence. You do not need to fear an eternity in hell. You can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, and He will save you. Maybe there's someone who is listening today, and even though you are a Christian, and you enjoy the peace of knowing you will spend eternity in heaven, but you also realize that your relationship with God is not what it should be. You are out of fellowship, and as a result of some sin in your life, you do not have the joy of your salvation. I want you also to know that God loves you. He, like the father of the prodigal son, is ready to run toward you in forgiveness and acceptance. He wants you to come home, home from your waywardness. He wants you to enjoy the comfort and the blessings of being in a right relationship with Him. Again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you're listening today and wondering, where's my joy? I don't seem to have the kind of relationship with God I once had. Is there any way to get it back? Maybe you've left your first love. Maybe you've been drawn away by the things of the world. First of all, I invite you to ask the Lord to search your heart. Read carefully the last two verses of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Again, that's Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. May that be your honest and sincere prayer today. Lord God, we thank you today for the assurance of our salvation, for being the God who is almighty, bigger than any crisis we face either as a nation or individually. We thank you that all our sin was defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He said, "It is finished." I pray today that anyone who feels weak or defeated in any way will turn to you and find your strength to be perfect in this time of weakness. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of announcements before we close this session today. First of all, we do have the new Bible Pathway daily devotional guides for June available here in the foyer of the church if you would like to stop by and get one. If you do not have access to the building yourself, please call the church office first and make sure that we're here. If you have made a decision to ask God to save you this week, or if you have a prayer need that you would like to share, please, please give us a call or write us a note. Our address and phone number is on the bottom of this webpage. And also, if you or someone you know would like to have this message on CD, it was brought to our attention this week that some people in our church and some of our friends may not have access to the internet, and so you're not getting these messages. So if you know of someone in that situation and they would like to have the message on CD, let us know that too, and we will make sure to get a copy to them. In the meantime, may God richly and abundantly bless each one of you. Please, please, stay home and stay well. We will see you again soon. Thank you, and goodbye.